Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
Welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Canada Blue talking with Chris Brown, the head coach for the Montana State Billings men's baseball team. Montana State Billings fans finally got a chance to get a look at the Yellow Jackets this past weekend as they hosted Central Washington in four games, splitting against Central Washington. Well, what it boils down to, if you're a fan of hitting and a fan of scoring, you would have liked a lot of what you saw. If you're looking for pitching battles, minus one game, probably didn't get to see what you were hoping for. You know, really no way to sugarcoat it, Chris. Particularly, let's just, you know, the first game you lose 15-3, then you win 5-3, and then Saturday was just absolutely nuts. Over that game, you ended up giving up 43 runs over those two games. On the flip side, you scored 28, so the offense was going. Obviously, though, when you took a look at the numbers that you gave up in terms of runs, that obviously wasn't what you were looking for on Saturday.
No, and we, you know, the thing that's kind of hidden there is, you know, game one, we had a good starting performance out of the starter, and then brought in the bullpen, and the wheels fell off in game one. Game two, Cody Kennedy threw a heck of a ball game, and all three of their runs were in one inning, and otherwise for six innings, Cody cruised. Game three, you know, Brian Howell probably had the worst day he's had here in 3 years, and we talked about that a little bit earlier, and it's just kind of one of those days that you have as a pitcher, and you know, once again the bullpen came in and just wasn't able to seal the deal, and it was, you know, it was a two-way street. We definitely gave up some hits and didn't pitch as well as we would have liked, but you know, also they seemed to find every gopher hole out there, and just one of those innings that gets away from you. And other than that, you know, with the exception of that one inning, it was a back and forth ball game. And then we bounced back in game four, and you know, we pulled that one out. You know, really had control of that game from the second inning on, I believe, and you know, let them back in it in the seventh, and a little disappointed in that. And I kind of sat down and talked to the bullpen, and you know, they weren't on their A game this weekend, and you know, we need better performances out of them, and you know, they know that, and they're obviously not happy with it, and they're chomping at the bit to get another chance.
You know, we've talked about it sort of ad nauseum, but when you talk about pitching, it often comes down to this. And you know, I had a chance to see some of the games this weekend, but didn't get a chance to see them from start to finish because I was running around back and forth. But the big problem this year up to this point has been getting ahead in counts. Was that a continued problem this weekend that can be attributed for the large number of runs that were scored?
Definitely, no doubt about it. You know, you've got to be a pretty darn good pitcher to get away with being down 2-0, 2-1, 3-1 continually, and that's the position that we put ourselves in. We didn't, especially guys out of the pen, didn't get ahead and didn't dictate the count. And, you know, as a relief pitcher, that's your first and foremost focus, is to come in and throw strikes and kind of take control of the game. And when we did that, we were successful. And I went back and I looked at the breakdown on the spray chart and stuff, and almost exclusively every hit that we gave up was an advantage count for the hitter. And when we had an advantage count for the pitcher, we were able to get an out and really were successful. So, you know, right there it is in black and white for those guys that, hey, when you're ahead, you're able to get outs, and when you're behind, it's hard to get an out.
You know, and, you know, just somebody who doesn't maybe certainly have an acumen of the game of yourself, or somebody who follows baseball says, well, geez, that's easily solved. Just throw strikes early. But it's much more difficult than that, because you're not talking about getting ahead in the count, just throwing fastballs down the middle. There's such a thing as being wild in the strike zone, too. And that's the last thing you want to see at this level. You start, you know, in the early count, you start throwing something down the middle, you're just, you know, they're going to adjust and they're just going to hammer the ball. So right now, is it a situation where maybe the pitchers are trying to be a little bit too fine? Have they just not found their, you know, kind of found their groove yet, or is it just sort of a combination of things?
You know, I think for each guy, it's a little bit different. You know, it's individualized, but the bottom line is, I think it's more of of a mental thing, and just having the confidence to come in and you know, we talk about that, you know, geez, we go you know, live in practice just like we're going to do today, and more often than not, and nothing against our hitters, but the pitchers do pretty darn well and win a majority of those battles in practice, and we've really worked on what changes between a practice setting and a game setting, and you know, and I think that it is focus, and you know, I think we're going to revamp kind of how we bring guys out of the bullpen, and that was something that they had talked about, you know, well, geez, coach, in practice I know that I'm going to throw this inning, and I'm getting ready, and they have plenty of time to get loose, whereas in some of those wild games like that, you're calling on a guy and he's in, and then all of a sudden the, you know, he struggles, and now the next guy's got to get up and get hot, and you know, bringing them out of their comfort zone mentally a little bit. So I think we're going to take a different approach with the bullpen here this weekend and kind of test drive that new car, if you will, and hopefully it works out and we can kind of get things in order for the second half of the conference stretch here.
Yeah, and they get a break from conference play this weekend as they'll be on the road to take on Division I Northern Colorado, a three-game set Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll talk about that and a little bit more about where we're at in terms of the season with the head coach for the Montana State Billings baseball team, Chris Brown. That's coming up on the second part of the Coach's Show.
Hoo-hot.
What's hot?
Hoo-hot.
Hoo-hot?
That's right. Hoo-hot, the exciting Mongolian grill concept that's conquering the nation, and Billings will not be spared.
Mongolian grill?
Hoo-hot Mongolian grill has over 50 fresh meats, vegetables, noodles grilled before your very eyes. Choose from 12 specialty sauces or create your own. From simple soy to super hot Kung Pao Yao. Grab a bowl and load up. Repeat as necessary.
Hoo-hot Mongolian grill. King Avenue West, Billings.
Where hunger meets its destiny.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adelblue talking with Chris Brown, the head coach for the Montana State Billings baseball team. Taking a look at general numbers over the weekend against Central Washington at Dealer Park. You lose the first game 15-3. We talked about that one. Win the second game in the one real kind of nice pitcher's battle. You had a 5-3 game there. But, you know, you take a look at the second day, you score a total of 28 runs. You know, over the weekend, you averaged 9 runs a game. You know what, you're going to win a lot of ball games doing that, so from an offensive standpoint at least, and certainly the numbers would bear that out, even against Northwest Nazarene, you guys are putting up some runs.
Yeah, we're hitting the ball. Our approach to the plate's been consistent. We're hitting the ball. We're squaring it up on a regular basis, and those balls are starting to fall. And I think, you know, early in the year we were hitting some balls on the screws, but they weren't falling. And as a hitter, that's frustrating because you go up there and you square one up, and it's a line drive out, and the next at bat you fist one, and it just kind of bleeds through, and it's a hit. And you know, geez, where's your positive reinforcement? But you know, the hitters have stayed focused and kind of kept moving forward, and now that's all kind of coming to fruition and kind of coming together at the same time. And we've been hitting the ball really well. You know, defensively, it's been back and forth battle, and then those have really been our two Achilles heels. It seems like is the pitching and the defense. And you know, from a defensive standpoint, it's been routine plays, and it's more mental stuff than physical. I really believe that, and we've harped on the guys about staying focused. And you know, that's a two way street though too. When the pitcher's up there and it's ball one, ball two, ball three, strike one, and then all of a sudden it's a hot shot at him. Well, you know, geez, that's a tough play to make, but you've just got to stay mentally focused and you know, be prepared for the ball every time and kind of play out the different situations in your mind so that when you do get the ball, you're not kind of guessing and scrambling of what am I going to do with it. And from a pitching standpoint, like I said, you know, we've got to get ahead, and those guys that are coming out of the bullpen, you know, they have to adjust to that role, and they have to have that mentality and that mindset that, hey, I'm better than you, and I'm going to beat you right now, and I'm going to get ahead, and I'm not going to give you a chance to get up on me. And you know, and I think that you know, we had a very productive talk yesterday, and there was a large consensus that I think got guys on the same page. So hopefully that carries over into this weekend and into the second half of the season.
Ask you about from a hitting standpoint, as a coach and as a coaching staff, do you have a general philosophy when it comes to hitting? The reason I ask is this: there are different hitters. I remember, you know, going back So a lot of times I use a Major League Baseball player as an example just because they're familiar. But somebody like a Wade Boggs seldom would swing at a first pitch. He was a guy he'd like to see a pitch first, and he'd usually end up taking a strike early. I know a lot of coaches feel, you know what, sometimes that's the best pitch you're going to see in a ball game. But do you have a general philosophy, and do you have to kind of tailor it for each individual batter? Because there are batters that, you know, are very comfortable taking a first strike and then battling their way through. And are there other batters that you, and so do you say, well, okay, you know, it's working for you, let's stay with that? Or are there other batters where you say, you know what, you've got to be more aggressive early in the count because you're just getting behind?
Definitely, and I think you hit the nail on the head there. Each player is so different that, you know, one guy, he's comfortable getting down 0-2 every single at bat, and you know, he's more comfortable hitting with two strikes because it kind of makes him be a little less selective and a little bit more aggressive. And the next guy, you know, he wants to sit first pitch fastball and sit dead red. But, you know, the overall thing that we stress is to get a quality at bat and get a pitch to hit. And I think that's been the biggest transition from our hitters is right away in the season we were looking for the pitch to hit, and we're oftentimes getting behind and then watching good pitches go because it wasn't exactly what we were looking for. So we've kind of changed their mindset into get a pitch to hit, and you know, depending on the situation, depending on the count, depending on the pitcher, that might be a fastball outer half, it might be a wrinkle in or whatever, but each guy goes up there with the mindset of getting a quality at bat and taking what the pitcher gives you and go with it. In that, you know, we've got we've proven that, you know, we were able to hit the ball with power to the opposite field end to, you know, pull it. And guys have really taken a situational approach to hitting too, and I think that's been a big part of it, of our success offensively, is we've been able to hit in situations and get guys over, get guys in, advance runners when we need to, but also, you know that, hey, this is a situation, it's a 2-0 count, I'm sitting on one pitch and I'm going to box it and square it and hit a hole and fill a gap. You know, we've really worked on those guys with a swing thought too, in that they're up there and you know, kind of rip it, and now the pitch comes, and it's not trying to transition from three different thought processes to focus on the pitch. It's one single thought process that plays through the entirety of that at bat, and I think that's really helped a lot of guys become good hitters and become consistent hitters.
I've always, and if you just throw out on base percentage, and we've talked about this before, the one thing that I think has always fascinated me about baseball and softball is, you know, let's just go by the kind of standard. If you're a 300 hitter, you're considered a pretty good hitter. How many things in life can you fail 7 out of 10 times and be considered a success? But that's the thing about baseball that's interesting. And again, just getting away from the on base percentage, just to make it, just to say my point. But the thing is, you can have a good at bat and not necessarily get on. You take a lot of pitches, you know, you could take a guy to a 3-2 count, foul a few balls off, you're going to pop it up. The advantage is always typically with the pitcher. It hasn't always been the case this year, but typically it is. So those are the type of things you're talking about. You're talking about getting a good at bat. The results aren't always going to turn out exactly the way you want it, but over the long run, the averages start to work in your favor.
Definitely, and you know, you think about that leadoff guy leads off with a double, and you know, we haven't bunted a lot this year, for two reasons. A, first and foremost, I'm not a big believer in giving up and out all the time. Secondly, our guys aren't exactly the best bunters in the world, so we have to play to that strength. But you know, leadoff guy gets a double, and instead of bunting him over, hit a ground ball to the right side, and it goes down. You're 0-for-1 with a fielder's choice, but you advance that runner. Now there's a runner on third with one out, and the next guy comes up, and he hits a fly ball to right field, run scores. And, you know, both those guys are 0-for, and they didn't get hits, but, you know, the one guy got an RBI, and the other guy moved the guy over, and both those guys had productive at-bats, and the next guy comes up, and he gets into a 12-pitch at-bat. Well, geez, now that pitcher threw 26 pitches that inning, and he's probably out in the fifth or the sixth inning rather than the seventh or the eighth or the ninth. So, you know, guys are going up there with the mindset of doing my job, and, you know, we kind of have the philosophy, hey, the first one's for you, the next two are for the team, and guys have really embraced that, where they know that they're going to get one rip that they can come out of their shoes and try to hit it into Yellowstone, or out of Yellowstone rather, and the next two are for the team, and they really kind of battle up and go to work, so to speak.
They don't tend to make the highlight reel, but oftentimes it's the little things that win games. We're going to talk about the upcoming games coming up as Montana State Billings takes a break from Great Northwest Athletic Conference action as they'll take on Division I Northern Colorado in Greeley. That's coming up on the third part of the Coaches Show with Chris Brown.
Johnson drops back. He's in the pocket. He's, man, number 58 came out of nowhere. What a sack. They heard that hit clear up on the high line. Looks like Johnson's down. He's grabbing his knee. Trainers are coming out to the field. Yeah, looks like he's done.
The risk of injury is part of any sport. When injuries happen, turn to the doctors at AMP. AMP doctors are the leading experts in sports medicine and are committed to keeping athletes safe and getting them back into the game. AMP, athletic medicine and performance. Learn more at ampmontana.com.
Third part of the Coach's Show with Chris Brown. Welcome back. Northern Colorado this week, you know, you've got three nine-inning games taking place in Greeley. Good program to take on, you know, Division I program. I know you played them last year. I want to ask you, is it nice from the standpoint that you've been, you know, really in some intense GNAC affairs? Is it? And I know you want to win every game, but is it kind of nice to get a break from conference play and get an opportunity to play a good program like this?
Definitely, and you know, a lot of teams take the philosophy of this bye week and of taking a week off and healing and resting, and I've never been a big believer in that. I think baseball is a groove game, and you've got to get in that rhythm, and you know, and right now we've got some things clicking pretty well, and some other things that, you know, there's a few adjustments and tweaks that need to be made, and I think that's best done during games. You know, you can try to simulate that in practice and whatever, but you just can't ever truly put something together that has the intensity and the urgency that a game does. So, you know, we're not looking at this as an off weekend by any stretch of the imagination, but definitely a weekend away from conference play and a weekend to get some guys some looks and work on some things. And you know, obviously we want to win and we're concerned with the outcome, but the bottom line is to get everything back on track for the second half of the conference season here.
Yeah, I think you kind of alluded to it, but and I realize that there's different philosophies on this too. But since they are non-conference games, and in many ways not even regional affairs because they're a Division I program, is it a slightly different approach from a coach's standpoint? Do you maybe try some things, try some combinations that you normally wouldn't try, experiment in a GNAC game, or is it basically the same approach?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, you want to keep that consistency, and I think that we found a lineup top to bottom that's been working pretty well. But that being said, we're going to tweak a couple things here and there and see if we can, you know, even refine it or fine-tune it a little bit more so. And obviously, you know, from a pitching standpoint, like I said, we're going to try to roll out a different monster out of the bullpen this weekend and see how that works and kind of put guys in a little bit more of a set position rather than, you know, hey, you're up and get hot, now you're down, okay, now get hot and you're in. It's going to be more or less, okay, hey, that starter comes out, and we're going to kind of pen it from there, and hopefully that'll work and get us back on track on the bump.
And take a look at it on Friday, May 7th. You've got a doubleheader to close out the season at Central Washington. After these non-conference games in Northern Colorado, everything's a dealer. I mean, it's a nice stretch for you. And if nothing else, this Northern Colorado game hopefully allow you to gain some momentum heading into just what is a monster stretch at home.
Definitely. And that's kind of the payback at the end of being on the road early in the season, is that, you know, that home stretch, that home stretch for conference and for whatever else, we're at home. It benefits the kids academically too. It's crunch time academically, so it takes a little bit of the burden off them and frees them up mentally to, you know, A, get their schoolwork done first and foremost, but B, also to not worry about you know, travel and all the things that come with that. So we're looking forward to you know, obviously this weekend, but then the following four weekends after that to you know, play at home, sleep in your own bed, eat good homemade meals, all those things that kind of come with the comforts of home.
And I was talking with Tony Stone before talking to you. I think it would have taken less time if I'd asked him who was healthy. That poor guy is going through a real stretch here with some devastating injuries to the softball team. Just in general, how you doing from a health standpoint?
You know, really well compared to last year. Last year we were in the boat that Tony's in this year, and I feel for him, man. It's a tough road to hoe, but you know, we've confirmed that Archie Smith is out for the rest of the year. He's got a microscopic tear in his UCL, so that hurts, losing a front-end guy on the mound. But we'll bounce back from that, and you know, we haven't had him for the last couple weekends, so we'll just have to adjust and go from there. And Jeff Ridgeway got hit on the hand, same arm that he broke last year, hit right on the rod that's in there, and thankfully that rod wasn't removed, or he probably would have been going down the same road as he was last year. But he is moving forward, and looks like he'll be a go for this weekend, hopefully.
All right, good enough. Northern Colorado, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Greeley. And their next home games will be Saturday and Sunday, April 10th and 11th, as they host St. Martin's. Coach Chris Brown, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck in Northern Colorado, and looking forward to the St. Martin's game.
Thanks, Ken. Always a pleasure.
And the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Thanks, everyone.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.